You said some things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back and you're gonna be in trouble.
Hey, love, my boyfriend's back.
See him coming, better cut out on the double.
Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to Midnight Munster. It's Saturday, and you know what that means. It means Midnight Munster is late. And we apologize. We've been shooting for every Wednesday. This week, though, we've been haggard by many real-life work problems and illness in the family. So you'll notice the second segment of this week, I will be flying solo once again. You know, from me to you, straight from the heart, is Colleen is suffering from strep throat this weekend, so unfortunately she's not going to be able to join me. But we've got a show for you regardless. She's going to be with us in the first segment as we talk about our first feature of the week, Boy Eats Girl, the Irish boyfriend zombie flick. And then I will be flying solo for the second feature of the week, which is the Scorpion King 2 Rise of the Warrior. Yeah. So before we get into that, we'll discuss business for a little bit. As you know, it's we've had a Doomsday giveaway going on. Today, Saturday the 16th, is the final day for that contest, so be watching the site for the winners. They'll be announced on Monday. Also, coming up, we have some more giveaways coming. I'm not going to announce them this week, but next week, be watching for it. We got some good stuff to give away, some not-so-good stuff to give away, but regardless, it's all DVDs for you. How about that? In the meantime, be sure to check out our forums over at popsyndicate.com/forums. You'll see us under Midnight Munster under there. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, call us idiots, however you want, you can do that by email at cinemafromage@gmail.com. Again, that's cinemafromage@gmail.com. Or you can leave us voicemail at 206-339-9459. We've only had one voicemail caller so far on this show. We're 11 episodes in. We want to hear from you, folks. Give us a call. Again, that's 206-339-9459. And also, you can now follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/cinemafromage. I'm usually out there all day because it's addictive as heck. And to finish up the business side of the show, I want to remind you, too. Actually, Colleen wants to remind you, we have a Cafe Press store out there. You can find the link on cinemafromage.com. We got a couple t-shirts and stuff. Feel free to check it out. Don't feel obligated. Also, we'd like to thank anybody who's given us reviews on iTunes. That helps us out greatly as other people find more and more reviews for our show. They're more likely to listen. So we would love, if you'd love to help out the show, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.com and Podomatic.com because that helps us out greatly. And it's quick and easy to do, and we'd love you for it. So there it is, folks. This is Midnight Munster 11 with Boy Eats Girl and Scorpion King 2. So hold on to your butts, because here we go.
PopSyndicate.com. Your one stop for all your unhealthy obsessions. Breaking news and in-depth reviews on all of your favorite movies, music, TV shows, podcasts, comics, books. PopSyndicate.com.
You know, we've been friends for ages. What I really want is to be
sh**ing her.
Nathan McGuire was hungry for love.
She wants him.
Shut up.
Trouble was,
I could give you a hard time if you don't.
Cheryl was even hungrier.
Oh, yes. Show me how much you want me. Get nice and... Don't you like girls?
This school year...
There's something wrong with me, and it's getting worse.
Discover why Nathan doesn't just want to meet girls.
How are you feeling, by the way? Nauseous?
No, I'm just really hungry.
He wants to eat them.
Have you eaten anyone yet?
No, but it's infectious.
Most of our class, they look like you.
They're attacking people.
I think it's Jenny Murray.
I used to fancy her.
It's all
probably something to do with the family background.
Mr. Cromwell! Help! Here, you little bitch!
Now, to save the girl he loves and win her heart.
He was one of them, though, wasn't he?
He's got to stop everybody else.
That was violent.
From eating it.
You are all right.
I'm fine.
Charlotte, remember that giant teddy bear you got on Valentine's Day?
That was for me.
Boy eats girl.
He's got to make friends at school, not eat them. Please open the door.
Hello?
This week, Fearnet and Comcast On Demand brings us our first title of the week, a 2005 entry from Ireland called Boy Eats Girl. Boy Eats Girl is directed by Stephen Bradley, written by Derek Landy. It is a horror comedy starring Samantha Mumba and David Leon. Like I said, it was filmed in Ireland, and it's a, if you hadn't guessed it from the title, it's a zombie movie.
I was pretty excited when I found out this was an Irish movie. It's not that often you come across an Irish horror film. And most Irish films are dramas or dark comedies.
True, then you're usually about very depressing. In Boy Eats Girl, we start out seeing Boy's mother, who is working in the local church, cleaning and helping paint the church, and she's putting stuff away in the basement and uncovers a dirty little secret under the church. As the movie progresses, we are introduced to her son, Nathan, who's your typical high school student, has his sidekicks that run around with him, and he's in love with the girl but afraid to tell her.
Yeah, because it's one of his best friends.
It's one of his best friends. They've been friends since childhood, and he's afraid to tell her because he's afraid it, what it might do to their friendship and whatnot, even though his friends all know it's pretty much a given that they're meant to be anyways. And, you know, and you get your typical teenagers goading their friends into stuff like that, and your typical teenage hormones and sex in high school type of stories to start it out. There's a weekend dance coming up called the disco, and that comes in a little bit later, actually. But when Nathan is finally ready to tell Jessica that he loves her, there's a mix-up, and Jessica has problems with her father letting her out of the house. She doesn't make it to their meeting spot in time, so he thinks she blew him off. He walks home, sees her in the car with the resident horn dog of the school, whereas she just got it. He gave her a ride because it was raining.
She dropped a flashlight,
right.
And so she's, you know, down in the seat, and he sees the guy in the car by himself with his head back, and her head comes up, so of course it looks like she's giving him a blowjob.
Yes.
I mean, it's actually kind of funny because, you know, with all the years of the Harry Potter movies and the English humor films and stuff, it's kind of refreshing to know that across the pond that, you know, folk in Ireland are exactly the same as the
yes.
Americans.
And really, if it wasn't for the accents, this could have passed for any high school in America.
Yeah.
Just like everybody
except
else.
Except they had to wear uniforms.
Well, they do in a lot of schools here, too, nowadays.
Oh, true, they do.
Now, as they move on, Nathan's not very upset because he thinks the girl of his, the love of his life is screwing around with the school horn dog. And, you know, they have their little altercation, and he goes home to sulk about it and starts drinking.
Yeah.
Well, as a decoration in his room, he has a hangman's noose hanging a stuffed gorilla or something off of his closet, so he decides to play around with it, stands on his chair, and wraps the noose around his neck. Now, we cut back to earlier when Mom was messing around in the basement of the church. She uncovers the secret room, and in said secret room, there is a book with an altar set up in there,
And candles. In the secret room.
She finds this room. It's hidden behind a bookcase. She pushes it aside and wanders back with something that's obviously sealed up. And she finds a room with like medieval jail cells. And there is a large statue, or ossuary, I believe it's called, with human bones. set up in a decorative skull with her decorative cross. Candles lit. So her first reaction is to walk into
the
snake.
Room. The snake is slithering around in the sealed room. And, you know, she just walks in there. Oh, la, 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 la. Look, lit candles. La, 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 la. You know, and it was locked. You know, it was behind a bookshelf. Why are there lit candles in a room that's been
sealed?
Like
I told Colleen the other night after we first watched this movie, my first reaction when walking into a hallway, maybe that's because I'm jaded because I've seen so many of these movies, but my first reaction is I walk into a hidden hallway under a church and I find a medieval jail cell with bone statues and lit candles. My first reaction is going to be, holy fuck, there's somebody down here. Get me out. Not, let's go see what's in there.
Ooh, let's go open this crypt. And oh, look, a book. It says voodoo on the front. Ooh, let's look into this. La, 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 la.
So she wanders in the room. She finds this voodoo book and then she starts flipping through and the priest shows up.
Yeah, the creepy priest.
The creepy priest.
He was scary looking.
Now, that's our setup for the basis of the story. Now, after Nathan is back home sulking, Mom comes home from work, goes up to the room to tell him to turn his stereo down, opens the door, not knowing he's there, knocks him off his chair.
Yeah, and she thinks that he's killed himself. She doesn't realize that she just killed him.
Exactly. But she's all upset, and she realizes what's happened, so she runs back to the church to get the book, because one of the passages she saw was Raising the Dead.
Of course.
And that is our setup for Boy Eats Girl. So you have now Zombie Nathan and his estranged girlfriend who thinks that he's mad at him, and he doesn't know how to deal with his changes going through life.
He doesn't, because he doesn't know. He has no idea that he has become a zombie. He is completely and totally clueless.
And Mom is not completely forthcoming with him with the fact that he died and she brought him back to life.
Yeah, she... what I absolutely love about the mom is just her very clinical way of discussing this with him.
Mom is very clinical. She's very she's very nonplussed about the whole situation. She keeps a very calm exterior throughout the whole
thing. I'm sorry, but if I just brought my kid back to life, I'd be like, oh my god, I can't believe it worked!
In one of our first zombie cut scenes with Nathan, her first reaction is, she finds him with blood on his mouth, I believe, and her first reaction is not, oh god, you've killed somebody, or what's all this blood from? Her first reaction is, yeah, I need to talk to you, you're going to be, you're probably noticing some changes, some strange urges you've never had.
It's like she's giving him the birds and the bees talk.
It's exactly what it was, is the birds and the bees talk. She was talking to him about puberty in relation to his zombiness. Now,
and she said it exactly like that, too. Just, yeah, you're going to be going through some changes. Just very calm about it. And it was just, it was kind of surreal.
Okay, now this movie, there's a lot of nice aspects to this movie. There's, as far as the technical side, the plot and the flow of it, I hear a lot of people say that they don't like this movie. For myself, I enjoyed it for what it was. There's some good stuff. Now, Colleen and I have discussed, she liked it more than I did a little bit because I felt it was a bit flat. But that could be to the whole American sensibility to foreign humor and whatnot. I do suffer from that time to time.
And my mom's side of the family is all from Ireland. So it was like, you know, I really enjoyed it mainly. That was a big plus for me, was that it was an Irish zombie film. That gave it extra bonus points for me.
The fact is that this is billed as a horror comedy, and for myself, it falls a bit short on both aspects. It falls a bit short on the horror side. It falls a bit short on the comedy side, a bit flat. There's not a whole lot of gore until the very end, and as a matter of fact, they skip over a lot of the gore. You might see a glimpse of After Effect, and you might see some guys in zombie makeup running around with some blood on their face, but there's not a real whole lot of gore. You don't see a lot of the action of the zombies actually eating people. You'll see them jump on somebody, and then it cuts away to something else.
Right. It did do that.
And my other issue with this movie is going into the whole zombie aspect of it in general, because what this is, and if Brother D from Mail Order Zombie, if you're listening to this, it's probably going to make you twitch. It's a combination of both the voodoo zombie and the undead zombie and it's a kind of a mishmash amalgamation. I can appreciate them trying to do something different, but parts of it just, for the nerd in me, didn't flow.
Yeah, well, I mean, like what I said to you before, you tend to not pay attention to some of the small details, especially when they're going by fast, or if there's boobs involved. Unfortunately, there were no boobs involved in this film. But when she's flipping through the book, you get little glimpses of what their mythology of the voodoo lore is. And it's the person who has risen pretty much remains somewhat sane until he actually completely, you know, devours somebody. It takes longer for the original host to completely and totally turn. Now, anybody who the host bites immediately turns. From there, everything is immediate.
With those details there, too, though, then that means that they're actually making an amalgamation of voodoo zombies, undead zombies, and vampires. Because the whole vampires not turning until they've devoured somebody and whatnot is very prominent, and it's spreading with the virus kind of fits in there as well. For me, though, my problem is, even though they explained it out in the book, they still have too much of a mixed match of the different types thrown together.
We see, I liked this version. I kind of liked it. It was new. It wasn't the exact same thing rehashed over and over. Ooh, you get bit. And also, another nice thing, these were the fast zombies. These weren't the slow, stupid zombies. These were the I'm going to run and tackle you zombies.
Yes, I did not have a problem with the running zombies. And, you know, some people, it's probably going to blow my cred with some people out there, but I don't mind running zombies because I myself find running zombies far more scarier than the slow shambling zombies, because when they can, because I'm a big guy, and if they can chase me down across a parking lot, that's not good. The slow shambling ones, I could probably get away with.
Yeah.
Get away from, I should say.
Get away with, yeah.
There are some other aspects of this movie, though, that I liked a lot. The biggest thing with this movie, it's only an hour and 20 minutes long. Actually, it's only an hour and 16 minutes long, I believe. So it's pretty short for a feature film these days, because most horror flicks are going to clock in about an hour and a half. Maybe a little bit longer. This one's fairly short, and they did some things in this movie that I liked to shorten it. They did some things that I liked in there as far as the technical aspects and the editing, but at the same time, I don't understand fully why they did it, because it's not like they were in a time crunch. So the biggest thing, though, is, for instance, once, to try and describe it as best I can, when Mom kills her son, kills Nathan, realizes what's done. Now, it's logical from what we've seen set up that we already know that she's going to go back to the church to find the book. That's expected because they set that up in the beginning of the movie. Now, what they did, though, is they turned the tables on us, and they didn't fill us with filler scenes of showing her going back to the church to find the book, you know, struggling with herself to make the decision to bring him back and cast the spell.
Going off and getting the live chickens to, you know.
Right. Which a lot of movies would dwell on that aspect of it. This one, though, she looked at him, seeing he was dead. You kind of catch a glimpse of herself as she ponders it quickly, and then it's boom, 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 boom. Snapshots of her grabbing the book back at home, chicken feathers all over the place, her flipping through the pages and whatnot, and then all of a sudden he's waking up in the morning. That aspect of it is very nice, because it's a very nice change. As I just said a minute ago, they usually dwell on some of these smaller details that we don't need to see, because we don't need to go see her find the chickens. We don't need to see her cut them open.
Yeah.
We caught Kit, and that fit very well, but it makes me wonder what else they could have added to this movie to fill up their normal time slot. And they did that kind of thing later on in the movie as well, and it still worked well, and it was nice. That, to me, was the nice change.
Like the tractor scene and stuff. But, yeah, I felt like, though, they could have gone into more detail with, I mean, because the virus that, or the zombieism, spread really, 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 really quick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody's turning into a zombie. And there was a guy that looked like Carrot Top who was nowhere ever in the rest of the show. I don't know how he turned into a zombie. I'd be interested in knowing how, you know, it went from one person to another. I mean, other than the guy, you know, the horn dog guy in the car, you know, getting the zombie blowjob.
Yeah.
Was pretty funny. But in reality, we don't know how these people got to this point, other than the fact that we know that the main evil dude, bully guy, who our hero bites at the beginning when he's right. first turning.
The spreading infection pretty much becomes a background thing.
Yeah.
Which in itself can be all right, but the way... But they had time to expand on that, and they could have shown us a little bit more of it while still keeping it in the background. So now it seems like it's just part of the set instead of part of the actual plot.
Right. Yeah, that was one of the downfalls I felt.
Later on in the movie, once we get towards the end, it starts to feel more like an actual horror movie. Still not scary at all, necessarily.
It's like a regular zombie.
But it starts to feel more like a zombie movie, and it starts to feel more familiar, especially when they get to the farmhouse and his girlfriend, Jessica, shows up in the tractor. That scene was awesome. They did a great job with that. It is very reminiscent of the lawnmower scene in Dead Alive.
Yes.
Very reminiscent of that. It's and it's a nice throwback to it. And that was very enjoyable of the movie. So like I said, there's a lot of parts of this movie that was good.
Right, because you had the farmhouse, you had, you know, the girlfriend, the main guy, his two goofball buddies, and then the neighborhood slut all in this tiny little house trying to defend it with golf clubs.
With golf clubs.
Couldn't even think of the word for a minute.
And even as far as the acting goes, our acting here was pretty solid. And it wasn't bad. I really liked Nathan, who played our lead kid, who turned into the zombie. He's a pretty good actor, and he's believable, and I connected with him, so I was happy with him.
David Leon.
Yeah, David Leon. His girlfriend, Jessica Samantha Mumba, didn't stand out quite as much as he did in her role, but she did a competent job of it. She wasn't annoying as much. Now, when you get into his sidekicks that were running around with him, they fall a little bit flat because they're obviously our comic relief, and they fall a little bit short of that for me.
Well, apparently Samantha Mumba is a over in Ireland. She's a big recording star, singer.
Well, so that explains a lot. For me, Boy Eats Girl is... It's a decent movie. It's worth a watch, and I feel that it's worth a rental. It's not one I would run out and buy. It's not one I'd recommend to run out to buy, but it's worth watching if you can stumble across it in a video store or on the Cablevision. My only problem is, my biggest thing is a disappointment of what it could have been.
Well, I think of this more as, I mean, I enjoyed it. I think it's something that's fun to watch, and also... for people who are starting to introduce their kids when they get like to 12, 13 years old into zombie films. I don't think I'd show Delaney this movie, but, you know, and this is a good starter film.
And for those of you listening, the zombie talk comes after the birds and bees.
But this is a good starter film because it's not overloaded with gore. There's no nudity. There really is not any foul language.
Right. It's very much a teenage horror movie, but it's a better movie where... I lost my train of thought there. We have a lot of teen horror movies here in the States, and they're pretty dumbed down, and they're pretty cleaned out. This is a teenage horror movie coming from Ireland, and it still makes a pretty good, solid movie for the fact. There's still a lot of the teen horror movie aspects there, but it's done a lot better than what you would normally expect from a teen horror flick
right.
here in the States.
Well, you see, one thing I find that kind of annoys me of the teen horror films here in the States is all of the nudity and all of the sex and all of that, and in this movie, it wasn't so much. And it's something that, you know, I wouldn't mind my kid watching because they're not going to be, you know, getting nightmares from this film.
Right.
I mean, but it'll be a good, fun sleepover
film. In fact, this movie, with a bit of editing to get it down to under an hour, outside of the tractor scene towards the end, this movie could have very easily been a made-for-TV movie.
Yes.
Over here, even in the States, it could have aired on TV and as a sci-fi channel movie. Granted, a good sci-fi channel movie. If this would come out on the sci-fi channel, it'd be actually pretty phenomenal compared to what they normally churn out. So, I myself would give this one probably a 6 out of 10.
I'd give it about a 7. Extra points for Ireland.
There you go, folks. That is 2005's Boy Eats Girl. This is currently available on Fearnet's On Demand channel on Comcast On Demand. So if you have it, it's worth checking out.
There is a legend of a warrior who rose up to defend his people and became a king. Now, Universal Pictures and the producers of The Mummy bring you the story of how it all began. In ancient times, there arose a fearless warrior.
The Order of the Black Scorpions.
Who became the personal bodyguard of royalty. But when his father is murdered by the king, he must destroy the one man he was sworn to protect. From the director of Resident Evil Extinction and Highlander, and starring Randy Couture, comes a heroic tale of loyalty, betrayal, and revenge. Scorpion King 2, Rise of a Warrior.
Way back in 1999, we had a fun little adventure flick starring Brendan Fraser called The Mummy. In 2001, they spawned the sequel to The Mummy called The Mummy Returns. And in this movie, we saw the WWE's The Rock, a.k.a. Dwayne Johnson, show up as the Scorpion King as a side character in this movie. Well, the producers and whatnot liked him so much that they decided in 2002 that they were going to spawn a franchise off of the Mummy movies, and thus we were introduced to The Rock in The Scorpion King. And now we're back up to 2008, and with the recent release of The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, it's only fitting that somebody decided it was time to spawn off another Scorpion King 2 movie to rise off of any publicity they may get off of that. So that's what we're going to talk to you about today. It's The Scorpion King 2, Rise of a Warrior. This time around, we got a prequel setting from the original Scorpion King. No longer do we have The Rock. We have his younger version, I believe. And, you know, so we're thus as fitting as a prequel. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, in the original Scorpion King starring The Rock, despite the fact that I am a fan of The Rock, I wasn't able to finish it. I made it about 30 minutes and had to shut it off. So, as you can imagine, my hopes for going into Scorpion King 2 were not high at all. But we made it through. And as you can tell, I'm here by myself this week for this episode, because Ms. Colleen has a bad case of strep throat and can't talk, so that would make for a very exciting show. And so you get just me. For Scorpion King 2, we introduce UFC fighter and five-time heavyweight champion Randy Couture as the king, the bad guy, for this movie. And aside from his intimidating size, he doesn't really bring a whole lot to the movie. But still. And also playing the role of the actual Scorpion King, we have, I believe, Michael Copan as Matthias. Coming through here, we have Natalie Becker, who shows up as the Queen of the Undead. Very lovely little girl. We have Chase Elgus shows up as a character named Noah. And we have a young Karen Shanaz David as the main love interest to Matthias. A fairly newcomer to the acting scene. So, as you can tell, with Scorpion King 2, they went for the budget as well as possible, and they casted us with a whole bunch of lesser-known actors, so they didn't have to pay him as much, obviously, and threw together this little combination action flick with a touch of horror. that mixes in there. Now, the movie itself, the story is vaguely interesting. Like I said, I didn't get to see the whole story of the Scorpion King because I couldn't make it through it. The Mummy movies, I've always been a fan. They worked out well for what they were, mindless action flicks. I had hoped for the Scorpion King to carry on and ramp up the action a little bit more. So Scorpion King 2, I was vaguely curious just to see what was going to happen. And in the prequel story, we get a tale of this young Matthias as his dad was a legendary warrior, and young Matthias wanted to try out for the Scorpion, the Black Scorpions, the elite mercenaries of the kingdom. And his dad didn't want him to follow in his footsteps because he didn't feel that the life of a warrior was a good life to live necessarily. So, moving on, something happens. Matthias winds up being recommended to the Black Scorpions by the king, and he heads on. But while the king was alive at the time, who signed him up for the Scorpion, the Black Scorpions, we have Randy Couture's character Sargon, who at the time was the king's general. Matthias runs off to Scorpion King training as Sargon, we find out, has dark powers and kills his father. So 6 years pass. Matthias is now a Scorpion, Black Scorpion, and Randy Couture has killed the king and has usurped his throne. So coming back, we now have Matthias having to work for the man who killed his father. Once he finds out, he swears revenge on Sargon and tries to kill him, finds out he's got magical powers, and then they soon find out that the only way to defeat him is to find the Sword of Damocles. That's probably not pronounced right, but you get the idea. The Sword of Damocles is stored in the underworld, and so our adventure begins as they run off to try and find the sword. As action flicks go, Scorpion King 2 is not bad. There's some good fight scenes in here. Randy Couture is an imposing figure, obviously. He can't act for shit, but, you know, he's got a minimal part. He's supposed to be an imposing badass. He's got that down at least. Now, moving on with Matthias, he's passable as our main hero here and badass. He's not an overly muscular guy, which is fine. He does all right as far as the action goes. So does his little girlfriend and Layla and whatnot. The problem I have with this movie is the ham-handed lines and dialogue that they throw in here to try and give the movie worth a laugh and whatnot. You've got a lot of modern era sensibilities going into the humor here that just doesn't work. And it pulls you out of any setting they might have set up. They go a long way to set up the Egyptian scenes and the mercenaries and whatnot. Even though they gloss over it all, they don't give you very much background. It's all glossed over. And then they can move along and they just throw in these more modern, sensible jokes. And I wish I could tell you one off the top of my head, but they don't come to me because they were forgettable too. But there was just so many times that they were pulled out of this movie to roll your eyes and move on. And the other problem is too is they head on. There's some parts in here that I liked. I liked the bit with the there's a scene with a long scene in the labyrinth with a minotaur. Despite the fact that they didn't let us see the minotaur very well because it was filmed too dark and you couldn't see anything, he did look imposing from what you saw. And the it made for a nice little fight and whatnot. And you get a little good little backstory with the mercenaries that are captured in the labyrinth, you know, feeling that they owed Matthias' father for fighting with him. And going on from that, there's a whole chunk that's thrown in when they're in the underworld that they underused totally. There's so much more that could have happened. The scenes in Astarte's castle were okay, but they were short and kind of meaningless. And overall, then, the movie just felt like nobody was completely into this. They felt like modern-age actors working in a period piece instead of being an actual period piece and feeling like it's part of the period. Instead, we just feel like a bunch of people running around in costumes doing their thing, which made it hard to get through despite any fight scenes and whatnot, which, like I said, the fight scenes were okay. We got too much use of the slow-motion bullet cam that MTV's so fond of and whatnot, but what do you expect? Now, Randy Couture, like I said, he is an excellent fighter, very imposing man. Some of his fights in the UFC, you know, have just been completely devastating. It's amazing to watch him fight. As far as acting goes, he's very straight, very unemotional about it, and just doesn't work out. The rest of the actors, I could see them working out for, you know, having a decent career in a lot of teenage horror flicks and whatnot. They weren't horrible. They're passable, if that. Nobody's going to knock your socks off here, but, you know, they turned in the performance and what was expected of them, and there you go. So that's it, folks. I'm going to give Scorpion King 2, Rise of a Warrior, a 2 out of 10, because it only seems fitting. And ultimately, it was pretty slow moving, hard to get through. I ended up having to come back and finish it later because I found other stuff to keep me occupied to give you an idea how engaging this movie was. So there you have it, folks. If you need a mindless popcorn movie, you can probably find better, but, you know, that's just me talking. So there you go.
Like you're gonna save my reputation.
Hey, love, hey, love, what's my friend?